open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
All right, here with former Bison running back, fullback, do-it-all, H-back, Chase Morlock, and my dog Max, who has decided to join us here in the Green and Gold studio. Chase, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's good to be over here. I haven't seen you in a while. I had Ross over training at my gym, and obviously due to circumstances, we haven't been able to train, but it's good to see you.
Yeah, got six really good workouts in. I was in a good place diet-wise. You know, I was eating clean. I was doing the intermittent fasting, so only eating from noon to 8. Then COVID-19 hit, and I think we got work to do. I think I got to take care of what we were going to take care of, plus maybe COVID 7 or 8. So,
yeah, you're not the only one, though. So
I know.
we got work to do.
It got to be a rough deal. But, yeah, we just wanted to catch up. We had Cole Davis on, and obviously, you know, speaking of COVID-19, a lot of different businesses are taken care of. But, man, nonprofits, especially for – a situation like that where they're very events-based, had to cancel both softball games, had to cancel their big banquets, you know, their auctions and stuff like that. It's nuts how many of these different businesses are affected. And not only that, but people don't have extra money. And charities is where extra money goes to. So it was a really interesting conversation with Cole, but want to kind of catch up maybe with somebody from every position group, people that are around town. So what have you been up to since you graduated?
Yeah, so right out of school, I mean, I had kind of a weird story because I didn't redshirt. So I was done playing in 2016, but I still had to finish school, which was a tough year for me because everyone I came in with, and we had a really tight class. I mean, like most of the Bison classes. But, you know, Nick DeLuca, Jeff Ilias, Cole Davis, all those guys, the whole lot of them. I came in with those guys. You know, we grind, we go through hell together, and then a couple of us were done early, and I was still in school because I switched majors 2 years into exercise science from business. So basically I had to start college over because there wasn't a lot of carryover with my credits. So yeah, that last year, I think it was 2017, that was a tough year. I was kind of just around, but I wasn't able to be out there and be a part of everything with them. But got through that. Those guys were awesome, kept me in the loop with everything, which was cool. I was living with Jeff and right next door to Nick DeLuca, so I got to kind of still be a part of the team, obviously. But then right out of there, graduated with a degree in exercise science. Didn't know what to do quite out of there, but I knew I wanted to be strength conditioning, obviously. So I kind of just built a home gym. I'd acquired a lot of gear over the years. I moved back home with my mom so I could pay off a couple loans that I'd take out during school. Built this awesome little gym. One of my best friends from high school, and to this day, is Aaron Lean. He played basketball at MSUM. Awesome athlete over there. We just needed a place to work out in the meantime because he was done with school too. So we started training in my mom's garage. I had a pretty cool setup. And then eventually my mom asked me to train her. She's like, I need something. Someone get me going. Started training her. That was awesome. She brought a friend. Another friend came. Eventually we got up to like 20 people of just, you know, general fitness population adults coming over to my mom's garage, parking in the cul-de-sac. And then I started just picking up some high school athletes throughout that time. And I also had Will Borgen, who plays for the Buffalo Sabres in the professional program there, coming over to just to the garage. It was really, really cool, small setup. It was awesome. And then I took my CSCS, so Certified Strength Conditioning, test, similar to certification. I mean, he's a lot farther above me now, but what Coach Kramer has. So kind of along those lines of like a college strength conditioning certification. And then just kind of talking with Aaron, we just started getting this passion. I kind of developed it, this passion for adults and general fitness after my dad passed away, and just seeing, you know, why he ended up getting sick. You know, it wasn't a big secret. You know, he wasn't taking care of his body. Just had a lot of stress from work and everything, and just wasn't eating right. So, I mean, just things that we can control. We don't control all of that, but I mean, if he would have done some things differently, you know, he could have prepped better and probably avoided colon cancer. He had every risk factor available, so I was like, man, there's a group of people I can help, because, you know, you get to a certain age, and I know we've talked about it before, you get to a certain age where it just gets hard. You know, you got kids, you got work, basically your fitness starts becoming the last thing you worry about, and you need help getting it done, and that's what we decided to do. So we opened up a spot in Moorhead and been rolling ever since, and COVID obviously put a little halt on right. that for a couple months, but you know, there's a little time period where you start feeling sorry for yourself, starting to get down, and it's like, man, why did this happen? But you know what, you eventually you had to snap out of it. It's like, man, well, like, let's be grateful. What do we have? You know, have a little right. gratitude. You know, we've come this far. It's out of our hands, in God's hands now. Let's just keep doing the best we can. Appreciate every day that we get in there and the people that we have, and let's just keep rocking along and enjoy every day, and we'll handle the problems as they come.
So I want to go back to like your time at North Dakota State, but first I want to touch on Rise, because we've known each other from your time at North Dakota State, but we really got to know each other while you were at Dynasty.
Yep.
And so I want to kind of talk about that and working with Cole, who's a couple classes older than mm-hmm. you, but also, what does it say about Jim Cramer that Rise exists and Dynasty exists and First Pick Performance exists? I mean, there has to be something that is instilled in you guys there that, you know, it makes it what you guys want to dedicate your lives to. I mean, what can you say about Cramer and about just the work ethic that was instilled to you guys and why it's become such a passion for guys like you?
Yeah, that's I mean, first off, huge shout out to Coach Cramer. Like you said, we got, you know, Eric Perkins, Dudzik, Jarek, myself, you know, a lot of guys showing a lot of interest in this field, which I know Coach Cramer fires him up. You know, he's gets some guys that are doing what he wants to do or what he's been doing. But just, I think, you know, and you guys hear about it a lot. You know, Coach Cramer is well loved and talked about. Everyone knows, you know, a lot of our program runs through him and his program that he's built. But just the attention to detail that man puts in, and the time, and just his commitment and the dedication to creating and maintaining something as great as the Bison football program has been. And, you know, you hear stories still from older guys and even himself just of, you know, before we had kind of set that standard, you know, he was probably one of the main points of setting that standard. So just hearing stories of him back in the day, I can't remember what year it was, but he called everyone into the little racquetball court in the old weight room. And he basically shut the door and, gave them a little fire up Cramer speech and said, we're going to figure this out now. The team wasn't clicking. They could have been good. They eventually ended up pushing plates around the track until they were puking. Just one of those moments that kind of defined history from that point, that team said, no, this is the new standard we're setting. This is how we're going to go about it. I wish I had a little more details on that, but we've heard those stories kind of over and over. But just Cramer is so special in what he does and that intensity he brings. But just, you know, for a guy like myself, I was able to watch him for 4 or 5 years, and, you know, I knew I was always interested in this side of the field, but just to watch how he approached it, how he brought these guys in, you know, at that time when I was coming in, it's maybe changed a little bit now. A lot of underdeveloped guys, you know, you get like a Jeff Ilias who's 195 pounds and has to get up to 250.
Cordell, 6'7",
exactly.
230.
Yeah, yeah. And that, now I say it's crazy to see how the program has changed even since I've been there and been recruited. We're getting guys that are already 250, and now mentally we got to get them along, which is kind of crazy just to see how the program's come along and just how even strength conditioning just in the high school levels developed as well to get these guys ready to go. But, yeah, having that mentor, you know, without even truly knowing it, I guess, just I was always kind of watching on the sides like, man, I love what this guy's doing this summer. I could be interested in. I think Dudzik and Jarek and Perkins all kind of had a similar feel to that. It's like, yeah, this is what we can do for the rest of our lives. It's pretty cool to be able to help young kids or adults or whatever it is, you know, set a goal, achieve that goal, and then stay on them to keep maintaining that and getting the best out of you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Chase. All right, back with Chase Morlock. Chase, I want to kind of go back in time now and start from the beginning, because you have this interesting timeline, if you will, where you spent 5 years around the program, 4 years playing, but you had some Craig Bowl experience. And so I want to kind of talk about your recruitment, where the North Dakota State program was when you were in high school, and just your thought process, who else was interested, just kind of, because we're, you know, obviously with Bias Report, 24/7 Sports, we do a ton with recruiting, and just kind of want to go back to that process.
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of cool. I had, you know, Coach Bull for the 1 year, got recruited by them, then obviously Coach Kleiman, and still really connected to the team when Coach Ants is around and then taking over. So, yeah, just thinking back, I train a lot of high school athletes, and I give them such a hard time because watching the recruiting process change over the years has just made me laugh, just because, and it's nothing, it's just kind of what it is now, but and all this social media stuff and these crazy over-the-top productions they put on for the kids, just,
yeah,
it cracks me up because I was lucky to, you know, get a phone call, and maybe they were doing that for some of the more big-time recruits, but, you know, guys like myself and, you know, Jeff, I use Jeff a lot because he's my roommate, and
sure, we're
close, and Nick, and this, and guys like that, but, yeah, we didn't get that, you know. I got a few phone calls from Coach Bull, Coach Vegan, a few calls every once in a while, and there's pretty straightforward. There was no, you know, building them up, I think, like they did, like they do now. It was kind of just like, hey, we like you. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll be in touch type of feel. Conversations, like, really quick, just catch up, get a few voicemails. But I remember I was into my senior year. I think it was mid-September, maybe end of September, having a great senior year just in high school, and then finally got a call from Coach Bull, and it was pretty quick. It was, you know, hey, we really like you. We're going to offer you a tuition scholarship. Let us know as soon as you can, basically.
Once you get back to me, you get a chance.
Yeah, and then those of you that know Coach Bull, he's awesome. Just very machine-like. You've heard it all the time. Businessman.
People call him the CEO.
Yeah, exactly.
The CEO
and
of the program.
He is. I mean, you can't. That's just what he is. That's the way he runs a business, runs a football team. So, yeah, I basically had a quick decision. I actually got a better offer from SDSU and then USD, a little bit of interest. The Gophers had offered me a preferred walk-on spot. And I was, for some reason, just in love with Duluth back in the day. I wanted to go to Duluth so bad. I went out there, toured it. I was asking them, like, hey, can I come play here?
Yeah.
And they were just like, sorry, we already took a running back. And I was like, all right, well.
All right, I'll go play for the
yeah,
Bison,
so,
I guess.
I mean, obviously, I'm glad it happened what happened.
Right.
But, yeah, I ended up kind of taking a leap. You know, financially, I was like, I'm going to be way better off if I go with SDSU. But it's something about the Bison. When you're in the recruiting process, you can just kind of get a feel when you're on a campus and the culture. And when I was on campus with NDSU, I was just like, this feels right. Committed, went on, started that freshman year with Coach Bull and that staff. And it's crazy thinking back on it. I was just a freshman, so I was young, just kind of a wide-eyed young kid watching everything take place and everything happen back then. But just trying to soak everything. I had a lot of great leaders like Brock Jensen and those guys teaching us the ropes, Billy Turner. But, yeah, like you said, it's really business-like versus, you know, I think back to Coach Kleiman and just how personable and just he's right there with you, kind of as a brother. I was just thinking back to Coach Bull. I mean, I think I maybe had talked to him just a few times, and that's just kind of the way he ran the program.
So you did,
like
you
said,
not make a 45-second commitment video where you, like, revealed an NDSU T-shirt or
no,
anything so, like that?
Yeah, yeah, I can touch on that a little bit. It's just funny to me because now, I mean, every time you get offered, a kid's got to send out the tweet about it.
Yep.
I'm really bad with social media. I'm not a big social guy, but they're tweeting about it. You know, so thankful to be offered by this and this, and that's what they got to do to get the other schools onto them. Which is, yeah, but I still give them a hard time because I'm just like, yeah, that's not how it was back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, already getting after them. And then I just remember even seeing just throughout my time there, because none of us had this, but we got the locker room redone, and then, you know, you get kids coming in, and you got their picture on the TVs all of a sudden, and stuff like that, and I was like, man, times are changing. They're getting postcards from Hank, our old guy, and I was like, yeah, this times are just a little bit different now, but that's just kind of how football and the recruiting process has evolved, but, so yeah, nothing wrong with it, it's just fun to make fun of the kids for getting a little, you know.
So, how does the red shirt conversation, how does that go? I mean, was that, boy, we really like you on teams. Hey, we're a little thin at running back. I mean, like, just how, because it wasn't just you. Nick, right?
Yep.
And
Nick, Pierre, Brad.
Right, yeah, because they needed a DN, too.
Yep.
So how does that whole thing go?
Yeah, that was another crazy, and I had no idea how this stuff worked, but we had practice, end of fall camp, one of those last weeks, and I was just jogging back into the locker room, Coach Bull was jogging next to me, pulled me aside, just had a real quick combo. I mean, this was maybe like 20 seconds. He said, hey, you're doing a great job. We like you. We're going to address you. We're going to send you down to K-State. That was
sick.
I mean, no questions asked. I didn't know how it worked. I was like, do I get a say in redshirting or no? Obviously, it didn't seem like that. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going. There's no, like, there's no opportunity to, like, okay, so how does this
there's
work?
There's no rebuttal. Yeah, no.
Like, what do I do from here? I don't know how the process works. Like, I'm just getting on the plane, or, like,
yeah.
Do I bring my gear? I don't know. You don't know anything at that point.
Yeah.
But I was pretty thankful. You know, had guys like Nick, Pierre, and Brad. I can't remember if Pierre and Brad went right away or if they came in.
I think a bunch of DNs got hurt, and then they pulled Brad. I can't remember.
I want to say it was just me and Nick down there, which was, because I just remember just having Nick, which was really cool because we were roomies, really good friends, and fun to have a friend going down with us. But, you know, it was scary because, you know, you're spending most of your time with the freshmen and the, you know, the basically the second team. So I got to know some of those guys, the sophomores, the juniors that weren't playing up with the big boys. But, you know, you get on a bus, and I was like, I haven't spent a lot of time with the ones. I don't really know these guys yet. Right. I've been here for a few weeks.
Billy and Ryan. Yeah, and
exactly.
And,
so, yeah, you know, absolutely. I remember, and me and Nick could ride on the plane or whatever together, but, you know, we have separate offensive, defensive buses, and it was, you know, we were big boys. We can handle ourselves. But you get on the bus, and it's like, where am I going to sit? I don't know. So, sure. Luckily, I still remember. I give Trevor Gebhardt and Derek Lang a lot of credit for kind of taking me under their wing freshman year, because those guys were just – super nice, always, you know, Trevor, hey, sit down, man. Derek Lang, he was in my running back room, which was huge. He, you know, I give him so much credit and just props and just being an incredible mentor. Still have lunch with that guy every couple months just to catch up. You know, me and him got pretty close. But those guys carried me through, and then having Nick on that team as well. And then I guess, yeah, Pierre and Brad joined a little bit later, but they were all defensive guys too. So I was kind of the lone soldier for a little bit.
And honestly, I mean, I think people forget how good Derek was. And especially, he saved their bacon in Manhattan.
Yep, he's a he machine, underappreciated Bison, I would say.
For sure.
And just the roles, similar to what I had, and I think my roles got expanded, but that's how I started. I was
Derek any verticals.
Third down, Chase, you know, come in, we need you to pick up the blitzes here. Can you read the defense? That was, you know, Derek did that better than a lot of guys I know, and be able to pick up those and just check downs and stuff like that. And he did a heck of a job with his role. And when he needed to be there, he'd step up and
get it done. Well, it's 3rd and 7. Can you make 8 yards on his check down? Yes, I can.
You know, and that was perfect. And that's kind of, I would say that's how my role kind of started. And it was like, okay, let's kind of make him a langer. And then I don't even know exactly why I got a little bit more roles. But I just, you know, decided, or the coaches decided, like, I think my biggest asset, I guess, would be I learned the offense really well. Besides, the one thing I'll give myself credit for is I studied my butt off. I tried to be around Carson and Easton and all those guys as much as possible throughout the years. And I would take in the extra film. So I just learned, and I remember even in fall camp that first year, I was like, I need to learn this. So I studied that playbook. Me and Nick studied it every single night before we went to bed for almost 2 hours. And you go to bed, wake up. But watching the extra film, and just, I was like, I need to, like, what can I do to make myself useful here? Because I showed up and I was, you know, you come out, everyone's a stud out of high school, and then
you were all the best player on your team.
Exactly, yeah. And then you show up, and I just started watching John Crockett move and Sam Ojiri move, and I was like, I don't move like that.
I better know this playbook.
I kind of knew pretty quickly, and I'm a grinder, a competitor. I was like, I'm going to give him everything I got, but I'm just like, physically, gifted-wise, I don't think I might not be the number one running back here. And I think I realized that pretty quick in my career, because, I mean, you just watch them, it's like, yeah, that's something natural, that's something beautiful. I was like, I'm a little more stiff, kind of a grinder, I'll pound you.
Well, and then Lance and Bruce come along, and,
same thing, we knew right away how special they were as freshmen. You know, I think King and I, you know, both similar type running backs, stiff. We weren't going to be as shifty.
Run a guy over instead of
Bruce and Lance came, and you watch them move around, and you can tell when a guy like Bruce has NFL talent, or even Lance, just so shifty, and you're just like, okay. Like, yeah, right. Me and King, we were kind of in it together. It's like, all right, let's do whatever we can here to, you know, keep getting better and better, and then help them along the way. Obviously, we're a team here. We need to teach them what we can, and then find different roles that we can all compete in. So, yeah, that was really cool. So I was really blessed to just be able to learn everything really well. Besides for the quarterbacks, I like to think I knew the offense the best, and Coach Polasek and our old coordinators. So, like, I knew fullback, I knew running back, I knew slot, I knew some of the X stuff. I had to learn a little bit of tight end, and just all the schemes all made sense. Once you learn the whole picture, like quarterbacks do, everything makes sense. It just clicks, and it's like, oh, man, I can go play any position. And that's what Coach Polasek realized, and it's like, okay, like, we need you here this week, like – Brock Robbins just got hurt. You got to be our fullback this week. Stuff like that, which is really cool for me to be able to step in there.
Sure. Yeah, it's funny you say that. I remember, obviously, covering the Packers and stuff, Rodgers loved John Kuhn. played at Shippensburg, and he said, John said the exact same thing about himself, said, I know this playbook better than everyone that isn't the three quarterbacks in that room. And that was kind of the attitude that you had to take. Would that be kind of your number one bit of advice to incoming Bison or young Bison, like get in the playbook, understand what's going on?
Yeah, I think that's for sure. And I would say latch on to an older guy.
Okay.
Like Trevor or Derek, that can help show you, because you got to learn the ropes and learn how to not do stupid stuff. And finally, you know, learn quickly. But I would say, yeah, those guys that actually come in, if you're truly, I mean, some of those guys are just, like I said, just naturally more gifted than anybody. Jabril Cox, he showed up as a freshman. He lined up against me in almost every special team drill, and he was just naturally faster, stronger. I was like, this is stupid. I've been working for 4 or 5 years, and this guy comes in, he's just better than me, flat out from the start.
Yeah.
Easton Sitka said that about Trey Lance. He's like, I've been busting my butt for 4 years. I talked to Easton a lot. He's a good friend of mine. He says, Trey Lance shows up, lets one ball fly, and he's like, what I've been working for, you know, like this guy's arm is already better than mine. You know, once he mentally comes along, this guy's gonna be incredible. So yeah, you know, getting in the playbook, especially guys that like realize, crap, I need to find a different role. So I remember Phil Hansen coming into one of our fall camps talks and just saying, you know, what he did to have a successful career in the NFL, and he said he had to make himself useful. So he learns long snapping. He's like, you know what, I might not always be the best DN, but if they need something else, you know, I have different roles, so they got to keep me around. So
I'll never forget, you know, Dudzik used to live with me, and he had a couple of the guys over just to grill out. Easton, I think, had walked in when Jabril was a true freshman. And was just like, I don't know what that guy is doing here. I don't know how we got this kid, because he is something different. And obviously, he's about to be something different at Louisiana State. For sure. So,
yeah, there's a few guys like that. I remember Nick DeLuca, just another one. Naturally was on another level. John Crockett naturally had that just
for sure.
Another level.
For sure.
There's just a few guys you just know instantly. You're like, all right, I don't know how you guys slipped it.
I know you're not a big social guy, but I've got some people in NFL circles that know your name, because I named that running back vertical concept after you, because you were the one that ran and caught it so much. So I just want you to know you're a little bit famous. I've been working on that with some of my NFL guys. They're like, what's this called? I said, that's actually called the Chase Morlock wheel.
Let's go.
Just so you know. And they're like, what? And I'm like, just think here, I'll explain it to you. But talk to me about what did you guys call that three running back set? I mean, I've heard inverted wishbone. I've heard Delta. I've heard from guys that you named some of those different sets after different superheroes. I've heard all sorts of different stuff. So what's that called? And kind of talk to me about the development of that play, what you were selling, if you will, and why you think, A, they ran it to you so much, and why you obviously were so successful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the technical term that we would use, I guess, would be a Delta set, but we didn't call it that. It was just 30 machines, so we all have our grouping, right? So
Ice,
we
were machines, the Wolfpack.
So
yep.
We just called the formation 30 machines, and 30 machines, we knew we needed the three backs out there, and then they called the formation. We can line up in different
It didn't always have to be the wishbone.
Yep. So they would still call that out. But kind of, I'm trying to think how it even started or who brought it. I'm guessing Coach Polasek grabbed it from someone.
Tim takes credit for it.
Yeah. I'm guessing he snagged it off film from somewhere. It's out in the NFL. A lot of those coaches just kind of steal little bits and pieces from each other, just like any other profession.
Right,
I do the same thing, strength and conditioning. Exactly. I'm like, oh, watching what they're doing. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take that and make it my own. But yeah, I think we just had so many talented running backs in the room that year between King, myself, we had Bruce and Lance. And it's like, how are we going to maximize talent on the field? So, you know, Coach
Maybe
P, and we had
a little thinner receiver group.
Yeah, and we probably had a, I don't want to say bias or what the proper term would be here is, but Coach P was our position coach, so he wanted us to be on the field.
Well, why do you think all the tight ends get the love now?
Exactly.
Tyler Rolls.
There's a little bit of love, and that's just how it goes. You know, he wants his guys to play, and I mean, to our benefit, you know, we got to learn a lot. So when you're in the room with the offense coordinator, you learn more about the offense. So, you know, we had a lot of guys that knew the full scheme, which is a really good thing to have on the field, and they were all really talented. Like I said, we had King and myself and then two of these really talented young guys. It's like, okay, we got to get them on the field. So kind of just started off with stretch play, running iron. So just getting out, trying to put the corner and the safety in a tough spot. And I think predominantly I was always the lead blocker, I think, out of the group. You know, with the fullback talent, I was with the tight ends practicing a lot. I got pretty good at cutting people over the years and just like I said, finding a role that I could do, and I could block people, I could get down and still run fast like a running back, but still be able to throw my body around like a fullback a little bit. So I started blocking those iron plays, getting the fast guys the ball and letting them do what they do best. And then eventually we kind of just realized, okay, once you sell that enough, it's really hard on the corner or the safety or however we're calling it, these Superman Batmans. It was the Superman series, just how we worded it. But, yeah, I mean, I'd just be running. My goal was practicing it to look identical to how I was going to block it. So, yeah, I'm arcing that guy the exact same way every single time, the way so that we block it. Yeah.
The play side backer or the strong safety,
yep.
he thinks you're going to come on cut him.
Yeah.
So he's...
It could be the corner as well, just depending on how the scheme
sure.
is. Yeah, yeah.
So they're feeling run block. They're not backpedaling away
no,
from
yeah,
him.
Yeah. And it looks and feels like run block. Our defense hated it so much. They sure. they would get so upset when I'd be able to slip through. But yeah, so we practiced it, and another key was the running back just selling it so hard. You know, does that guy have the ball or not? And then you have that the back guy in the wishbone or the delta, he's arcing as well. So you got two guys coming at you. Everything looks like run. You got a guy pulling, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm not dropping anymore. I just slip him, and then it puts the safety corner or backer in really compromised position where, I mean, you saw it over and over again. It's like, how is Chase wide open in the end zone or wide open on the sideline right now? Like, those guys are all coming forward, and all of a sudden, I almost pretend like
Iowa,
a duck, and I'm out.
At Iowa, you ran that stuff from the 6-yard line. Like, yeah. it doesn't have to be a 45-yard bomb.
Yeah, it turned out to be just an incredible. I remember watching Carson break it down on the Gruden quarterback show,
yeah.
which is crazy. Just, you know, a lot of guys and teams had started taking that concept a little bit. Why I was so successful with it, I don't know. I think it's part of that. Just maybe I was always blocking it, you know. I know I'd heard
they from, took you seriously.
Yeah,
as a blocker.
Yeah. I'd heard yeah. from other offense coordinators, you know, my senior year after they'd come up, you know, coaches are giving you high fives and saying, like, man, we're thankful you're not on there. Because when I was in the game, they didn't know if I was playing fullback, slot, tight end, or running back. So they had a hard time, like, keying right. up our personnel because I was just so many, I was a threat in different areas. So
and they've
cool.
worked it, they've made it obviously work. They've thrown it to Ty, they've thrown it to Bruce, yep. they've thrown it to other guys, but you have that threat of a credible blocker
yeah.
and somebody that knows. Y and knows F and knows yep. all of those other spots, and then they started working other stuff off it. Like you saw guys in the seam that first running back through up yep. up the middle as opposed to down the sideline.
For sure.
And
yeah, and I think I had a little bit of deceptive speed. You know, I think you watch me on film. I don't look like I'm incredibly fast or anything, but I think I was faster than guys would probably give me credit for watching
sure.
on opponent's film. But yeah, not. I just think I was. I could probably hang in there, and I still give Ty Brooks and Bruce and all these guys, I give them crap to this day. I'm like, when you want to race?
Yeah.
I was like, when are we going at it? I think Langer, too, same thing. You know, Pride didn't look as fast as it showed on film, just when you watch it, but, you know, when he lines up and opens it up, like, he's a running back. You know,
right,
he's
right.
still got something,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. So, senior year, and if it's obviously if you're comfortable talking about it, but, you know, you lose your dad, and... I just want to kind of, because it's one of the moments I happen to be, because I would, my process, not that anybody cares, but for games, as you remember, I'd always come down on the field, usually shot the breeze with Hank, because we're recruiting, you know, I kind of needle him, hey, what you, who you got, you know, what are you guys doing? And then watch a couple plays from the field level just to get kind of the speed of the game and then head up to the box. And I was on the field when you were the first and since only non-head coach to lead the team out. Just kind of describe that week, the decision to play, and then, I mean, the conversation with Kleiman, and then obviously leading the team out, because that was
yeah.
something. I mean, it's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, that was, I mean, wild. You know, just going back and thinking about some of the stuff's kind of crazy. So it's just, you know, how the whole story played out. But I just remember getting called, go back a little way, just getting a call from my mom. I mean, obviously my dad had been sick. It was almost, I think, a little over a year since he'd been diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer.
And immediately when they diagnosed, I mean, you guys knew it was a bad deal.
It was bad, yeah. It's, you know, you get that deep in that cancer, it's pretty tough. For those of you guys that don't know, I'm from Moorhead, so it's right across the river from Fargo,
of course,
from where we play. But so my house 15 minutes away from the dome. So I get a call from mom, and it's just one of those bad calls, you know, something's wrong. She says, I need you to come home. I can't, like, get dad up. Like, he can't move anymore. We got to get to the hospital. So I drive home midday. Go pick him up. Basically have to carry him to the car because he can't move anymore. Like, cancer's just devoured his body and the chemo and everything. So get him in the car, and still to this day, one of the hardest things I did was drive I drove it. My mom followed. But I drove my dad to the hospital, and it was crazy. Just the cancer had spread everywhere, so his bones were brutal, too. And just every little bump, like a bump you wouldn't even notice in the road, just sent just a wave of pain through him. And I'm sitting here driving the car, like, as slow and as careful as I can, and just
but you still got
everything you're
hospital.
Doing. Yeah, I right. still got to get him there. And just every little bump sent him pain. It's just really hard, you know, when you got, you know, a person you love to death, obviously. And then just my dad was a big, strong, tough, really good wrestler at Concordia. You know, one of the toughest guys you'd be around, and just watch this disease kind of take over his body, and just watch this guy that's I knew to be so tough, and he was just so big. He was a big guy, and just kind of shriveled up and in pain. That was one of the toughest things in my life, getting into that hospital. But I called Coach Kleiman. I was like, because they told us, it's like, yeah, we got to, like, he's not going to be making it very much longer. We got to put him in palliative care. So I called Coach Kleiman, you know, just tears in the eyes, obviously, and just said, like, I don't know what to do. I only got a little bit of time. I can't come to practice. I think I'm out this week. And Coach Kleiman, he's the best. He said, he's obviously not important. Do whatever you got to do. And he came up that night, and Matt Larson came up. All these coaches were awesome. They were coming up throughout the whole time. It was about a week, I think, that I was out. And he was kind of in and out of palliative care there. But, yeah, they were all incredible. I ended up deciding to sit out of, thinking back on it now, I think it was Missouri State that I didn't go to that game before SDSU. But pretty wild story up there, I guess. Yeah, my dad had pretty much deteriorated, only had a few hours left, and then basically told him we all had our last chance to talk with him, and then we kind of just said, I think my mom told him, like, hey, why don't you just hold on for, like, one more Bison game, you know, like, just, and then, like, feel free, like, go ahead. So we put the game on in the palliative care room and just had a bunch of family and friends in there, and we just watched the Bison game, which was the weirdest thing ever. Not,
oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
yeah. I was just sitting there, and I'm like watching all these guys do my jobs that we'd been practicing, you know, which is really weird and hard, and obviously, but I was like, I was definitely in the right spot where I needed to be. But it was crazy because 15 minutes after the game ended, 15 minutes later, my dad ended up passing away. Like, you know, he held on, got his last Bison game, and we all got a chance to say our goodbyes and stuff. So that was obviously a really special, emotional time for me. And then coming back, that's weird. You just, like, don't know what to do after something like that happens. You know, I'm sure everyone's got to deal with death and stuff at some point, but it's like, now what the heck? And eventually, I think you hit a point, it's like, I just need normalcy again. It's like, I got to get back to practicing and
my daily routine.
Again. Yeah, yep. You got to get going against, like, I gotta be playing this week. I gotta get back to practice with the guys, which is that Monday coming back was just really weird, and everybody was incredible, just supportive. But it was weird being back in there, just after what you gone through. But practice that week, had an incredible family, and just my teammates and everybody around the Fargo Moorhead community. And then you get to that SDSU game, and I didn't know I was gonna be leading it out. You know, it was literally. I was a senior that year, so I was just in the front of the line, and Coach Kleiman's getting ready. Kramer and Coach Knapp still there at that time, just about to open the doors. And then, like, right before the doors open, he says, he like drags me up there. He says, like, you're leading us, which was wild. I was like, you don't have time to think about it. I was like, yeah, all right, let's.
Yeah, you probably didn't want to give you any time to think about it.
No. So it was still to this day one of the coolest things ever. I got a pretty sweet picture from, I think Dave Sampson took it, just of. Walking out, head down, just clapping, got everyone behind you. Super cool.
Yeah.
Running out of there, just knowing you have the full force of the Bison behind you, and then the whole dome, just electric. And I know my mom told me once she saw it was me leading, she just burst into tears, which is, it's just a really cool, special moment for our whole family. And Coach Kleiman giving us that moment, like you said, I don't think anybody else besides never, for coaches no. ever done something like that.
I tell you what, like, obviously the fans get loud every time. But I have never heard a pop like that than when they blew open the doors and it was you right in front of Chris. The place went just bananas.
It was for sure. One of the most special moments of my life, for sure. And I got to give Coach Kleiman love. I mean, he couldn't have handled any better the way he was just there for our team. And he truly is the most genuine guy I know. He coaches hundreds and hundreds of guys, and he would be by your side for every single one of those guys. And he still reaches out, checks in. Same thing happened with Darius Shepherd and the team. It's just, you know, Luke Bacon.
Yep.
Those guys are incredible, just the way they handle real life. They can still, like, even at the highest level of football that we play, just the intense, you know, craziness of winning and just, like, we got to keep doing our thing. You know, when something real happens, like, they can still cut the tie and say, like, life's more important than this.
Right.
So,
yeah, because, really, I mean, props you guys, to those guys. The weight is seriously as you could take football, you know, it, and then obviously something like this happens, and to have the coaches be like, obviously this does not matter. Yeah. This is not, you know, this is not that important is I think a rare gift. So your career concludes, and then you kind of get going on, and let we'll bring it all the way back to the present. What is going on with you and Aaron? And you can talk a little bit, obviously, about the effects of the current pandemic, and what are you guys kind of trying to ramp up? Because I know you've made some changes, and you've got some pretty awesome stuff going on there.
Yeah, so, I mean, that whole backstory of my dad and everything happening, I'd always loved the preparation to sports. You know, you do the work in the weight room, you do the work on the conditioning side of things, and, you know, the harder you seem to work in the off season, the more it pays off. I've always loved that. I knew I was going to be in strength conditioning in some way, shape, or form. I just loved the weight room. I loved the preparation. But then after seeing what happened to my dad, man, my just eyes and heart opened up to just this population. I was like, man, I could have, like, if I would have been in a different situation, I could have helped him. You know, I could. There's a lot of people out there who can learn from his story and that I can help get moving again, you know, eating right again, stuff like that, because not an uncommon story for someone to get kind of, you know, enveloped in life and just work, and, you know, work starts becoming just the only thing that matters after a while, and, you know, not eating right, having maybe a few too many drinks on the weekends like we all do sometimes, you know, just not taking care of the body, not exercising, and eventually not eating right is going to lead to a disaster at some point. And I was like, you know what, maybe I should shift gears a little bit. I love athletes. I always want to work with them at some point, but, you know, maybe we should make the center of what we're doing around helping people that, you know, maybe don't get thought about as much as, you know, the young athletes, because parents, what I found, they're willing to do anything for their kids too. You know, it's an easy time even just as a business selling a parent, like, hey man, here's what we do for our athletes, speed, agility, you know, the whole works. And they're just like, sign up. Don't care how much it is. Like, I'll write the check, but I'm talking to them about themselves. I'm like, hey, we also got, you know, this Elevate circuit. Yeah, yeah. And they're just like, no. A lot of times I hear, I'm not ready for that. I got to get a little more in shape before I come to you. I was like, that's not how I get you in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just crazy. I mean, it's a real thing, though. Parents and just adults are way less likely to spend money on themselves and to just take that commitment. So I've been trying to work to bridge that gap to find, like, how can I convince these people? This ain't that scary. Like, I have people coming in here. My mom barely touched a weight in her life. I have people that have never touched a weight, never exercised before, that are at our gym in Moorhead, doing this Elevate program, kind of our general fitness program, and just getting them going. You know, we adapted. I'm not here to kill you. And a lot of people hear that. I hear it all the time. They're just like, I can't come to Chase Morlock's gym. That guy's gonna kill me. Hey, that's not what I'm here for. I went to school for this. I love helping people. I'm gonna take where you're at, and I'm gonna get you to that goal that you want. I'm gonna get you that healthier version of yourself, and that's what I want to do. And then I also do on the side. Aaron and I started the athlete side of things, which we get to work with a lot of, you know, 6th through 12th grades, probably our predominant population, but I get collegiate athletes in here as well, and then I still get to work with professional athletes. I got Will Borgen, Ben Ellison a little bit right now before he heads down to Jacksonville, and then Easton comes up every year for a few weeks to just get after it here, and it's just fun being able to work with those guys. And I got to train Jeff Ilias for Pro Day, Nate Jensen, I was getting to do a little bit of stuff with Carson for a while when he was still around here, which was really fun. Just to be able to get the whole broad perspective. And working with those professional athletes on that side is kind of my passion, man. That high-level, detailed training, that's really crazy. And then I think actually the next group that I like the next most is the young kids, the 6th, the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th graders. Yeah. Those young guys where I can kind of mold them. Some of those high schoolers are tough to get them to shift their mindset.
Well, right, because you can instill good habits in the young kid.
Exactly. So I get a few kind of people that really just grind my gears, and I can't get them to, like, buy into, you know, we're trying to teach them the principles that Aaron learned at MSUM just as far as discipline. They were really great basketball teams when he was there, and then just everything I've learned at NDSU, trying to get those, you know, small details finished.
Yeah, you guys
didn't
do a lot of losing either.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what we're doing. So we got both avenues of our business right now, and we're growing it. And then we started, 2018, I think, January of 2019, we opened up our doors in our actual building.
Right.
We started in 2018 in my mom's garage, and then now we've been around for about a year and a half now. The whole business thing, we could have a whole separate podcast on entrepreneurship and the ups and downs of that, but I won't get too into it. But it's just staying positive.
I'll get a commitment on that a little
later. Yeah, for sure.
I'll have you back.
No, that's been wild, but I've had I got to give a shout out to, you know, I got involved with being on the board for the Bison Football Players Association. Sean Fredericks and some of those guys had reached out to me and asked if I would be one of the younger guys on the board trying to kind of stay connected to the team. And I said yes, just kind of on a whim. I was like, I don't know anything about anything. So I'm young and, you know, being around successful guys like that, they helped us get the business started. I wouldn't be able to find a building without Tony Paul, and, you know, Sean helped me out with legal stuff, and just this group of Bison, and you hear it all the time, but man, even afterwards, you know, you get out of the locker room and you still find this huge group of guys that are willing to rally around you, the guys that you didn't even know yet, and right. they're willing to hop on, and I think that really is one of the most special things. The BFPA and what they have going on is so incredible, because, you know, really, there's really not many other programs in the nation that have something like it. There's a few that we've kind of like reached out to and modeled. Can't remember exactly what programs they were now, but to be able to have that is so special for the guys, to get them connected to the career path they want and just start getting them going.
It is. I mean, yeah. And it's, you know, I did a, who was the gentleman? I think he was also from Moorhead, passed away, and the whole football team helped his widow move.
Yep, Phil.
Yep.
Osley.
Phil Osley, there you go. Yep. I had written a story on Phil when I was still at Bison Illustrated, and got to talk to Stark and yep. got to talk to a couple other folks with the BFPA, and what a unique and really impressive group. I got to say, you're right on. And yeah. Got to obviously do my own little plug for Rise. I had a phenomenal time there. You know, you are a different style. You talk about a guy that you're afraid of. Christian Dudzik, I was afraid of Duds. But I mean, I loved him for it, obviously, yeah. But it is, and it's not that you don't push, you know, the adults, but, you could kind of go at your own speed, and as I got into better shape, I was able to do more of the workouts, or, you know, go longer or whatever, and I'm excited to get back to it. And it is honestly, you know, I just had a baby girl in April, and that's what it's about. And it's not necessarily specifically your dad's story, but yeah. it is literally wanting to elongate my life so I can spend more time with my family, and that's yeah. why I think what you guys do is so special.
And you hear it over and over. I mean, everyone wants to be around. You want to see your kids, you know, your little girl, and hopefully more to come,
right?
Grow up and just, you know, experience all this stuff and be there for them and be healthy. And I got to touch on Phil Osley real quick too. Just a quick side note on him, because it's kind of just a cool connection. Is Phil was actually the quarterback. At more, he's a Moorhead Spud as well.
Right, yep.
With me, and my dad was his center, which was,
kind of.
But I remember being at the funeral, and that one hit me really, really hard, just because it was too close, you know, a similar story. Yeah. And then, you know, and I think I connected with Phil just because he was a Moorhead kid. He went to NDSU, and just has so many similarities. I talked with him over the years just and had those connections, that Bison connection. And it's just like, it got me thinking, too. I was like, I got to take care of myself as well, because right. I don't want to be here. I want to be around. I'm getting married in 45 days, and I was like, I want to be healthy and be around for my wife and hopefully future kids and my mom, and, you know, just being able to help my family now. And that's actually something that you wouldn't think as a trainer, and I think it's something you don't think about enough as on being on the other side, is that, you know, we're humans too, and we struggle with this stuff just like everybody else does. So I know a lot of clients are like, man, like, what are you, like, you're fit, like, you get it, like, it's not hard for you. It's like, I struggle just as much as you do. You know, starting a business, the last 2 years have been some of the toughest years of my life.
You got 80-hour weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm up at 3:50 a.m., alarm goes off, and for that whole first year, it was going until almost 7 p.m. every single day, and I hit an extreme burnout phase where I pretty much shut down, just even myself physically, my body, mind, spiritually, emotionally. I was drained, man, like drained. Sure. I was like questioning, I was like, this is what I want to do. And finally, you know, I had just great people that helped carry me along out of that. And, you know, even to this day, I'm still struggling just to get on a set routine, because my day is still very erratic just with a young business as you try and systemize it. But just to get on that just set routine, like my health and fitness comes first, even before the business. So that's something I'm still working on. So it's just, I like to say that just so people know, like, I understand where you're coming from. I do not have it all figured out.
Right,
yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, I've had the same situation when I was starting out. Bison Report, I'm the editor, I'm the writer, I'm mm-hmm. the videographer, I'm the photographer, I'm the editor, I'm the podcast, you know. And
wear a million hats.
And you're the CEO of the company, you are the head trainer, you are the
marketer,
the janitor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's a tough deal. That's
really hard for Aaron and myself, just being so small where we have to do it all, because as guys at NDSU, attention to detail is so big. And we both, and Aaron at MSUM as well, we both want to be the best at what we do. And we found it is impossibly the best at all. Like, there's people that get paid high salaries to do this one specific job that I'm trying to
do. One of the seven jobs that you're doing. Yeah.
That has been one of the biggest struggles, and I think any entrepreneur will tell you they've all struggled that at some point. And just eventually you grow where you can start delegating that stuff, and that's the goal. But we're not quite fully there yet, and starting to slowly get to a point where we're passing off jobs to some of our other trainers and employees. But it takes time, and growing a business is tough. But just like I said, it was easy, you know, during COVID. You start getting down on yourself. You're like, man, like, why is this happening? Like, you don't put this in your business plan. Like, why? And you start thinking, like, dude, this is happening to everybody else. Like, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Started thinking, like, man, what do I have? Like, what am I grateful for? Like, staying positive and just being, trying to recenter, like, you know, what's important? What are we doing? We're trying to help people. Let's just keep doing that as best we can. And, you know, hopefully, kind of like they would tell us at NDCU, let's just go balls to the walls for 60 minutes, look up at the scoreboard afterwards, see how we did. You know, kind of taking that mentality now in my business. I'm going to go balls to the walls, and, you know, we'll look up afterwards and let's see how we did.
Sure, sure. Know? Well, I'm going to hold you to that business entrepreneur podcast. We'll kind of, because you and I've got a lot of the same things going on. I've had an insurance business I've been trying to, you know, get up and running, and obviously this media company's been awesome, but we'll have an update on that. We'll tell all the people how, you know, I dropped 20 pounds at Rise. It's going to be great. We'll have you back in the fall. Chase, this was awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.